Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. This is the show where we talk about spirituality and sexuality for our community.
And good evening and welcome to Spirit Lounge, and you with Joy and...
Tal. Hello, hello.
Good evening, Tal. What are we going to talk about tonight?
Well, we have a little something called the elections coming
up. No.
Yes, yes. And it seems that a lot of our parties have a lot of opinions on sexuality and spirituality.
They've got a lot of opinions, full stop.
Yes. And they really want to talk about our souls and our bedrooms. So we thought we might have a chat.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
But we've got the, sort of this grid that we're going to follow, aren't we?
Oh, my
and they tell
goodness.
Us, you know, and there's ticks and crosses.
Oh, there's people love to talk about these issues, even more than we do, amazingly.
I get so confused. So a big thanks to Michelle from Stand Up Straight, another fabulous program. And I went to Adelaide, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
And I caught up with Horse McDonald.
I was about to say, did you catch up with a wonderful horse?
I went to a party, Tal. It's so unlike me.
That is actually the most unlike you I've ever heard.
I went to the opening party of their Feast Festival. Mind you, I was only there for an hour to see Horse McDonald, and then we took off and consumed some raspberry cordial. So I'm going to play songs from Horse tonight and also from Katie Lang, because Horse and I went to a Katie Lang show while we were over at Feast. And the first song is Soldier of Love, and here is the gorgeous, the one and only Horse McDonald.
Good evening, faithful listeners. You're listening to the Spirit Lounge every Thursday from 8 till 9 on Joy 94.9. And we are here to talk about the election, and I went and researched and looked at different issues, and Joy went and researched and looked at different issues, and she found a fantastic little checklist, I guess is quite literally what it's called, from the Australian Christian Lobby. And it really, in its own way, I don't think we would agree with everything that they have to say.
Did we agree with anything?
I'm not so sure about that. But they happen to basically separate everything in terms of what I had been looking for, and separating all the parties out anyway. So that was pretty fortuitous of them. So thank you very much for giving us some nice content for Joy. Thank you, Christian Lobby. So, I mean, what do we want to start with what these guys have set out? They've basically gone and set out a lot of the major parties and a lot of the relevant policies, and then warned us about which ones support the important things and which ones are against them.
I think it's interesting for a start that we used to have family first, and in fact, one of them got into the Senate. I don't know if they've got a senator at the moment.
Yeah.
But now there's three.
Family first are the family first is like my bottom fourth now instead of my very bottom. There's like a whole.
Well, there's the Australian Christians.
Yeah, and Rise Up Australia.
Yeah. Rise Up Australia is run by that fairly nutty person, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, this is really interesting. It's an, I think it's an interesting follow-up for us that, you know, we were doing Pentecostal episodes a few weeks ago, and we had different conversations about how much the attitude towards homosexuality was changing within the Pentecostal world. But it's interesting to see that all the three or four parties which are out-and-out Christian or inspired by Christianity all are founded or have major players that are all from Pentecost. There are Pentecostal ministers and from Pentecostal backgrounds, and they are out and out.
But I wonder really how Christian is their values. I mean, just, you know, Rise Up Australia, it's founded by this guy called Danny. They oppose multiculturalism.
Yes, that's they're basically
they're
founded
anti-Muslim.
On
anti-Muslim. I mean, what's Christian about that?
Yeah, they have basically two platforms, which is anti-multiculturalism and Judeo-Christian values, which I put on with huge quotation marks around that, and they leads to all sorts of things. They're big supporters of keeping a Christian prayer in the parliament before proceedings begin and stuff.
And how relevant is that to anything, really?
I find it a strange thing to battle over, but it seems to be part of a larger... It's probably the best example of the larger push to fight anything that's perceived to be too... you might say that... Like Christianity's dying in this country, and we have to
fight that
and keep it alive. Yes, well, I would agree that they're the ones killing it, but it's this trying to retain the degradation of moral values, I guess.
And then, of course, they, you know, against homosexuality.
Of course, and. Then all the sub things we have to make, you know, I've noticed that many of them are not necessarily against homosexuality, but they are just for family values. And when they say family values, they mean family made up of one woman, one man, and everything outside of that. If homosexuality happens to result in couples that aren't one man and one woman, then we're completely against that. So it's they get a roundabout way of basically.
I'm not sure what they do about the fact that many families actually only have one parent.
Well, I look to be
they're
fair,
straight though that parent might be.
To be fair, I think a lot of these groups really consider there's something I think I like to point out, which is that divorce isn't always the worst thing. You know, I mean, sometimes it's better to be divorced than to stay in, you know, unhappy marriages and this myth. But I think maybe these parties would feel quite differently about that and would say that, you know, really a divorce is a real, real tragedy. And that I don't mean that it's not nice when people divorce, but I wouldn't put it as the absolute worst thing that can happen in a marriage.
So. I loved the fact that their last point on this little grid is that they support greater care of God's creation. Unless you're homosexual, or unless you're GLBTI, or unless you're Muslim, or unless you're multicultural.
I thought it was...
We support, you know, God's creation, except for all these people.
I think we discussed and we assume that means environment.
The way they put it, it was a roundabout way
of putting it. And that was their excuse so that they could have something that the Greens can tick, basically. Because if you take a look, basically, Australian Christians fulfil all their requirements and the Greens fulfil basically none of them, but they didn't want to be too tough.
I think the Greens would be disappointed that they got one tick, mind you.
Yes,
they were probably aiming, you know, for 100% crosses.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty fascinating little cross section of the way the different things they focus on. You know, it's basically reducing drugs, reducing gambling, reducing sex, just pretty much across the board.
No sex, no drugs, no,
and nothing yet.
Wow.
No, rock and roll is up there as well, I'm sure.
That sounds exciting.
So we have another one of your favourite artists.
The gorgeous Katie Lang.
Yes. So tell us who we've got, what we've got on next.
Well, we've got Constant Craving, of course.
Oh, well, I think with those constant cravings, I don't know how I'm ever going to fulfil any of this checklist.
Well, you just put the song on and sing along and you'll be right. Here she is, the gorgeous Katie Lang.
Always been, has always been.
Good evening. You're listening to The Spirit Lounge every Thursday from 8 till 9 on Joy 94.9. And we're talking about the elections. Now, we've been talking about some of the maybe less sexy parties. They're sort of general. But I thought maybe we'd also take a look at the, basically when it comes to all of these issues, the antithesis of these groups, the more sexy parties, which I would broadly put under Australia, the Liberal Democrats, the Sex Party and Greens. Pretty much, if you look at all of these issues, if one says yes, then these Christian groups will say no. And if these guys say no, the Christian groups will say yes. And
So who do you put in the sexy category?
Greens, Sex Party and Liberal Democrats.
So where do Liberal and Labor, they just sort of in the middle somewhere?
Well, they have policies, yes and no, and I thought we'd get to them later, but maybe we should reach them now.
No, I'm happy to go with sexy, but I was just wanting to clarify where you were putting them.
Yeah, no, I'm holding off on those ones.
We have a bit of a problem tonight, folks, because Tal and I agree on most of the issues. So if you disagree, we need to hear from you.
Yes. Well,
I can argue on their behalf.
I was really hopeful that Joy would be against euthanasia, and it turns out both of us are people that agree with it. So, you know, if you're out there being like, you monsters, please send us a message. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, basically, you look down the road, these are groups where I'm going to say Christian groups and sexy parties. That's the way I'm going to divide them quickly. Christian groups are against euthanasia, against abortion. Sexy parties are for abortion, for euthanasia. You know, against prostitution. The only big difference within the sexy parties is that the Greens has an attitude, it seems, towards sort of protecting and saving sex workers. And that's been a bit of an argument, and that's a big split from some of the other ones, like the Sex Party, which is really concerned of saying, no, these people can, like, sex workers can self-govern and self-organize, and we don't need this top-down sort of government approach to have heavy regulation.
I don't know that you should talk about top-down.
Yeah, well, bottom-up, top-down, whatever position you want when it comes to is your prerogative. So I thought that was fair. And, of course, these are groups that overarchingly are very secular. It seems to be quite unfortunate that we don't really have any parties that are willing to both, you know, sort of, you know, it's a shame we have no religious parties which are happy to be religious and also progressive in any way. And it's instead these other groups which are like, you know, want to explicitly make sure that we're a secular nation. It's really a loan up to them.
I can't believe that we're back talking about abortion and talking about sex workers. I mean, I thought we'd dealt with this and moved on. It seems crazy to me that they keep bringing this up.
Well,
they keep wanting to repeal this, you know, the Abortion Law Reform Act. I mean, really?
Yeah, and interestingly, the other one that these particularly Rise Up was concerned with, but a few others as well, wants to repeal the Victorian Charter of Human Rights and Responsibilities. And that was one that we couldn't quite work out what the, you know, it's pretty hard to be like, let's get rid of human rights. And so we were a bit trying to work out what that was. And I took a look through it, and it seems that basically what's happened is the Human Charter for Human Rights and Responsibilities forms the basis for discrimination cases when it comes to churches and homosexuality. So I read there was an instance to do with a group that was protecting sort of GLBTI youth and making them feel welcome, and they were denied from a camp as I think it was Christian associated.
Yeah, that was a Brethren camp.
Yeah, and there was a court case associated with that, and there's been a few others. Catching Fire Ministries was also in trouble for the same one. So that forms the basis of why they suddenly are on the surface, it seems, against human rights, and maybe not on the surface as well.
That seems pretty incredible, doesn't it, that they would want to get rid of human rights?
Well, yeah, I think it's, I mean, they would say, I think it all goes under, but they would say, but isn't it our right to deny people? We don't have to.
But if they look at the Bible, Jesus fought for the rights of the people that were down and out.
Yes.
You know, and these people were saying, oh, no, we don't want to have rights for these people. We'll just choose who we have rights for. And yet Jesus, you know, fought for the rights of women who were considered, you know, a second-class citizen or third-class or fourth-class even, for the Samaritans, for the people considered unclean. And that really gets me, that these people then turn around and say, oh, well, you know, we'll decide who has rights.
Yeah, it's quite fascinating to me that basically the two groups that oppose it are these Christian groups, and the only other one would be the who I just put under the sexy parties, the Liberal Democrats. But that's for an entirely different reason, where they're saying, no, people should be able to discriminate because they shouldn't be able to hide behind the law in order to pretend that they're more accepting than they are. So they're the thought that they're the type that says, you know, if a bakery doesn't want to bake a cake for your gay wedding, then they shouldn't, and then we should all just not go to that bakery anymore. But it's quite strange that we end up basically having a group that says, based on very secular issues, let's get rid of this charter, and then these other groups that really are going completely against their own ideals in order to semi fight for their ideals. It's a very, very strange combination that you end up.
Yeah, I think it's really weird. Of course, we're not surprised that they oppose homosexual vilification laws, are we?
No.
And they support the repeal of the religious vilification legislation, which is what that head of Australian Christian Party, that was what he was head up on.
Yes, that's right. It was to do with vilification. And then there's the other ones, of course, to do with hiring within churches and other religious institutions, and whether or not you can deny or allow them based on their own faith when the role hasn't got. So can I have like a, am I allowed if I'm at a church to say no to like a Muslim secretary because they're not of my faith? And that's, I think, currently legal actually, and they want to make sure that remains. But of course there's a lot of parties fighting that.
Well, there's a lot of churches that, like the Catholic Church, will only employ people who are Catholics in some areas.
Yeah, I mean, it's not so much here, I think. It's not as if Catholic schools are only allowing Catholics. I think they wouldn't be able to find enough people these days, but they can barely fill their institutions, let alone employing. So it's a funny thing. The other one, though, that they then also come up against is, of course, therefore the chaplaincy program. And that's where it's that's the more controversial battleground going on.
So do they
now
support retaining the chaplaincy?
The Christian
program?
Groups overwhelmingly want to keep the chaplaincy programs, and the secular ones want to repeal it as quickly as possible, and usually want to replace it with a like a comparative religion class. They say we should teach religion in school, but in the sense of teaching about different religions in the same way that we, you know, the difference between teaching nationalism and geography. You can teach about the world. It doesn't have to be about Australia and why Australia is the best. Whereas chaplaincy programs are like, you can learn about Christianity or Judaism or Hinduism or Buddhism in your own separate class with people who are not teachers.
But of course, that's a federal thing, isn't it? Tony Abbott's been involved in that, so yeah, that won't be affected by the state election.
No, I mean, I think they want to usually try and find ways. States often can find a way to work around those issues. They can try really hard to make it impossible for it to be put into practice. So I know that's sort of some of the aims going on, but we'll see how that goes over the next few years. Do you want to tell us about our next song?
Yeah, oh, we've got another horse song. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, you really love this.
So this is Horse McDonald, and this is a beautiful song that she sang at her concert, and this is called Don't Give Up. And you're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9, and we're here every Thursday night at 8 o'clock. And tonight you're with Tal and Joy. We're talking about elections, and if you go by what I'm hearing on Facebook, there's got to be a lot of donkeys voting.
Yeah, I can understand that feeling.
People just feel like none of the parties actually offer them anything anymore.
Yeah, look, I think that has a lot to do with, I think people are quick to say neither of the parties have got anything to offer me, but that's not quite the same thing. We do have a lot of much smaller parties, and if you like, I mean, maybe in some cases, even then, fair enough.
But a lot of them are single issue parties.
Yes, that's very true. But I think even then, I think that there is a place for actually looking through a lot of those parties, and you can still find something you want.
But I haven't found a party that agrees with me totally yet.
Well, I don't think you ever will. If you really want to, you can start your own party.
Oh, but, goodness me, that sounds like hard work.
Yeah, but, I mean, you can try and start up a new, your own party the way Clive Palmer did, basically.
Hey, I see Pauline Hanson's back.
Pauline Hanson's back, and Jackie Lammy is on her way out. It's a strange double.
Oh, my gosh. It's a bit like a circus, isn't it, really?
That's very bizarre.
How come she's on her way out?
I mean,
I know that she's upset with Clive Palmer and his party.
Well, they're annoyed. Apparently, she hasn't been putting in her, she hasn't been showing up to meetings is apparently the main reason. But who knows? I mean, to be honest, I realised after a while, I didn't even realise that Jackie Lammy was even in Palmer, because she's not actually all that characteristic of the, I just assumed she was from one of these, you know, more little.
Yeah, bizarre.
Yeah, like, I mean, she doesn't actually match her own policies very well. So, and not that Palmer actually seems to have any policies. It just seems to be whatever's on the day.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. You know, do they believe in anything?
Well, I looked at what they've got when it comes to these issues. And basically what I found for the most part is that they are generally, you know, big believers in equal opportunity, and particularly when it comes to economic pursuits. And with that, they so, and it's amazingly, at first they start talking about the great Australian tradition and all of this, our great history, and wanting to keep that tradition. And at first I was like, oh, okay. And then I read a little more, and actually they really believe that the big Australian tradition is that it's this nation of immigrants. So I found that to be interesting in terms of sort of the preamble of their policies. So I mean, just with the, I mean, I'm sure it's many things, but it's interesting to see that I wouldn't be surprised if, at least in part, the issue is that Jackie Lammy really isn't suited. Like, she should really go join One Nation in terms of what she's actually interested in talking about. Because it doesn't seem that Clive is all that interested in, you know, fearing halal and all this other madness that, that Jackie Lammy's been on about.
They seem to not think about much except money, do they really?
No, I think they're primarily an economic party, and that's again where it adds, but where they're not, it just seems that everything that she wants to talk about is just besides the issue.
And I mean, a lot of these issues, like, they believe in the basic freedoms of thought, worship, speech, association and choice. Well, what really does that mean when it comes down to it?
No, look, I mean, all the parties have fairly vague. I tried the best I can with my own research not just to pick up the vague things, because otherwise you start going down the list of which ones believe in freedom. Oh, all of them believe in freedom. And which ones believe in happiness, you know?
Oh, none of them. Oh, I mean, all of them.
Yeah, in the end, all the parties are anti-war. It's just on what basis they're willing to go to war, you know? So in that sense, so that's in the same sense I try and avoid keeping things too vague. But, I mean, it's a funny, I think it really represents, though, I think they really are a great example of the fact that in many ways things are changing, and that we're not as much, we're slowly moving towards not being as two-party as we were previously. And I know that these big parties actually want to stop little parties from being able to get so much power, but I actually really think it's a positive.
I think it was interesting. I was watching the New Zealand election recently, and they have proportional representation. So there's a lot of small parties. But it was interesting because this election, the more bizarre parties actually didn't do well and didn't get people in. It was the more credible parties that actually got people into power. So I thought that was quite a shift from previous elections, where all these little parties that have one policy or really bizarre policies, got seats in parliament. Well, now they don't have seats.
It can be quite a dangerous roll of the dice with proportional representation. You really can have these little parties. I mean, more with stuff that I was slightly aware of. The famous one came up when suddenly there was a group in Israel with three seats, which was the Yemenite Pensioners and Freedom of Marijuana Party. That was the two issues they put together, had three seats, and it's like, what is this party
doing?
We've
got someone from the Motorist Party.
Yes, we have Hunt.
In the Senate.
Who's a nut, who is as nut as nut can be.
But he sort of joined Clive Palmer.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, it also leads to other funny, I mean... On one hand, I mean, I think probably in the past we would have never expected like a group like Sex Party to ever even come close to getting a seat. But last elections, they were the four in my area. They were the fourth highest on primary votes. They actually didn't get a seat because of preferences. But it basically went after Labour, Liberal, Greens, Sex Party, and they actually were fairly close. And Liberal Democrats ended up having a senator who has been very robust throughout the party. And that's fascinating. I mean, we would have never seen that in the past.
But I know quite a few people who are so disillusioned with the major parties, they actually are voting for the Australian Sex Party. Because they agree with some of their policies and, yeah.
But I think it's worth before, I thought I'll say, you know, I actually do quite like a lot of what the Sex Party has to say. I mean, I'm saying that not because I'm trying to sit here and be like people should vote, but just, you know, I'm sort of maybe sometimes saying things where it's quite clear that I do agree with a lot of what they have to say, and I don't want to now sound like I'm just, like I do have that bias. And I think that's fair enough. I think it's good for people to be voting for a lot of the small parties.
I think with the Australian Sex Party, they support same-sex marriage, of course, but also removal of gender pronouns on forms. I think that's actually quite a good thing to support.
I think it shows that they understand
why it's still on there.
I think it shows that they think about these things a lot more than quickly on the surface of, oh, this issue is popular, so I'm going to jump on the back of it. I think they're really willing to say things like that. That's not really an issue that's going to grab you many votes. Not really that many people are sitting at home hating on those forms. It's something that they put because they really believe it, and I think that's quite. That's quite admirable. I'd like to see that from a few more parties.
But as we talked to Sally Goldnut last week, for a lot of trans people, that is important.
Absolutely.
So while we might not think it is, for others it is. And you're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. Hallelujah. And that, again, was the gorgeous Katie Lang with Hallelujah. And it's a girls' night for music here on Spirit Lounge. We're just having the gorgeous Katie Lang and the gorgeous Horse McDonald.
Yeah, it's just the girls in all having a nice time together.
Exactly.
That's
Get
right.
over it, Tal.
No, this is wonderful. Now, we are, I think we better talk about Labor and Liberal. I mean, it would be a bit insane for us to have a conversation about the parties and then only talk about the Sex Party,
the
Rise
parties.
Up Australia, and then we're like, yep, that's it. So that's your guide to the election. So I thought we'll start with, I'll point out actually first Liberal, because it's quite interesting that in many ways, Liberal's whole platform this time completely 100% simply talks past all of these issues that we would want to talk about. Basically, when it comes to all of it, they are status quoing, so they're not for repealing anything or adding anything. It's just not really on the table, and they are all about infrastructure.
So they're not going for the pink vote at all?
They're not going for it or against it. They're not talking about any of those issues. Sexuality, this, they're nothing about abortion, this, they're not for increasing it, decreasing it, anything like that. Like I said, if you really want to look at everything they've got, they have their 5-point action plan. It's under economy, transport, community safety, which means law enforcement, hospitals and schools, and the jobs plan, which is manufacturing and agriculture and a few other things. And that's what it is. It's a big focus on building infrastructure. And that's what it is. It's not as much about sort of the social policy. They're really just not on the table, unless you want to talk about law enforcement.
So they're not really caring about vulnerable people or anyone else? Really?
Well, I think it depends how you want to put it. Like, so a lot of that stuff which is under economy and stuff like that, they do have stuff when it comes to family welfare and other types of welfare systems. But that's what I mean. They're talking about different welfare systems and what sort of welfare, what sort of taxation, what sort of investment in jobs, but just simply not as much about, like, a lot of this other stuff, euthanasia, they're not for or against, they're just not even here. Which I must admit, I'm not totally against that mentality. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that I like the policies that these guys are doing, but it strikes me that a lot of this stuff that we sometimes talks about, if anything, should be federal. It seems to me, at least, that the overarching social policies are a federal issue, and the individuals of what's good for our economies, it seems to me that the people making decisions about our transport should be the government actually based in our state, because that's how the way transport's organised.
Yeah, but I mean,
I feel both ways. I'm convicted.
Issues like euthanasia and stuff are federal. And even if, like in the Northern Territory, they passed laws, well, then they're negated by the federal government. So it's not really an issue for the election, is it?
I think you brought that up when we talked about the
chaplains.
The chaplains. That really it's a federal, and there are loopholes and this and that. So I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I'm certainly not going to sit here and say we should all be voting for the Liberals. But I'm also, like, not necessarily... I think it can be easy to put in policies that are there to garner supports of vote, but don't actually translate into anything tangible. You know, it's like me as a local. I could be a local council and say that I'm for or against a war overseas or anything like that, but it just is not my decision. So why are we even?
And it's
why
easy,
is it on my page?
Easy for candidates to say that they support this, that, and the next thing, but they're still going to vote along party lines if they're Liberal or Labor. You have no choice in most of the votes.
Yeah, which is quite unfortunate. I mean, that's not always the choice. But let's also talk about Labor for a moment. Labor actually has quite a... I found an incredibly robust number of policies that were relevant to the things that we would talk about.
They got
about.
Lots of crosses on this chart.
Yes, they did. They were certainly not...
nearly as many as the Greens.
Yeah, certainly didn't get along with the
Christian
values chart. However, they had some interesting ones. The one that I noticed was that they want to make Easter Sunday a public holiday in Victoria. It's actually currently
but it
not.
Already, I thought it was.
No, it's not, which is very fascinating. Was repealed recently. I'm not sure exactly why, but anyway, therefore bringing it back. And I think it's a workers type, you know, that we have the right to a public holiday. And they talk about the equality with the rest of the nation's workers. So, and it's interesting. I thought I'd cover what they had to say about euthanasia, and they're a bit sort of in between. They don't support euthanasia, but they seem to want some kind of system that allows people to refuse or request treatment. So I think they're not for allowing people assisted suicide and stuff like that. But there's some instances where they want to allow people to say, I don't want medical assistance if under condition X, which we kind of know would lead to that person dying, but it's, you know, not quite assisted suicide. Mm. So it's sort of more allowed.
So they also will create a dedicated cabinet role for LGBTI issues with a whole of government
yes,
focus.
Yes, I took that one. With a whole of government focus, I'm not sure. Yeah, which I think is quite interesting. It's probably a symbol that they are interested in this issue. And at least I do admire that if someone is going to say that they support LGBTI, that there's actually some sort of policy on the table that actually shows that I'm not just saying I support LGBTI.
So basically what they're going to do is have someone that looks at issues that come up and the impact it's going to have in our community. Is that what they're saying in this?
That seems to be what it is. I'm not sure
Such a bad thing, really.
No, I'm not sure how that would work in practice, but fascinating.
But a lot of this stuff, like remove discrimination against children of same-sex couples, well, how does that work? I mean, that's just a statement. It doesn't actually say, how would you do that in practice?
Well, I think I read some things that had to do with that. I think that mainly had to do with something Stuff to do with adoption and stuff like that, and trying to make it easier. A lot of the stuff that some of the smaller parties that support it are all for, and IVF and stuff like that, which is allowed, but it can sometimes be a bit more difficult, basically, because they're not, the parents aren't always recognised properly if they're not the biological child, or if neither of them are biological.
I mean, there's a good one that they're going to remove barriers to new birth certificates for transgender and intersex Victorians. What, though, I wonder, are they going to do about transgender people who don't identify as male or female? That's going to be an interesting...
That might be one for their GLBTI appointed person to look at, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other one I thought I would note, because, I mean, we also focus, and I think it's where we forget that these days in Australia, which is an increasingly secularising country, the majority of our religious people more and more are becoming what we call cold, from cold backgrounds. That's like culturally and linguistically diverse. We have a lot of people that come from overseas, and our immigrants are the ones that have religion. And it's a big focus of Labor specifically, of trying to incorporate these people, trying to get them schooling and different issues to try and get them sort of settled in Australia and upskilling them. So,
whoa, that was a very quick run round the parties for the election.
Yeah, well,
I'm not sure that it was helpful.
I think it's.
But we hope so.
Information can only be helpful. I don't think it can hinder.
Just don't forget to vote, because otherwise you get fined.
Yes, and of course, democratic right, blah blah blah, privilege, etc., etc. But yes, the fine as well.
I come from Aotearoa, where we have to enrol but don't actually have to vote.
Oh,
that's, so there you go.
They just make you yeah, well, even here,
they're
going to
bribe you then
you,
to go out and vote.
You don't have to vote. You just have to show up to vote. You don't have to necessarily fill out the thing properly.
Well, that's Spirit Lounge for another night. Good night from Joy.
And good night from Tal.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.